Your request to postpone your jury service has been granted. You are now summoned to the date listed above. You will receive an updated summons and are required to fill out Part B of the questionnaire upon receipt. Wait, his request? The lordly language of the rulers. Your request has been granted. Liber had an image of himself bowing out of the royal presence. 1,000 pardons, your grace. May I kiss your ring? Was he a coward? He'd survived more than a year since the pandemic began, but he didn't feel any better prepared. Still, he remembered the early days of the plague, when you didn't really know how it spread, how you got it. Constantly washing the hands, a stab of panic if you touched your face, the insane fear of the invisible droplets. Did they hang in the air? Could you run into them unsuspecting, just walk right into them, no matter your vigilance? Social distancing. The very phrase sounded suspect, a made-up CYA government term like the sharing bodily fluids during the AIDS panic. It made him feel more vulnerable for its uncertainty. 6 feet, like it was a magic length. What about 5 feet 10 inches? What about 6 feet 6 inches in a breeze, downwind? Unsafe? Was 6 feet really enough distance from others? And masks, always an issue. Which were safe, which were safer? Were cloth masks useless? Now the issue seemed to be back on an uptick. N95s and KN95s, the gold standard. And of course over the mouth and the nose. Not like magic words and spells, but those could be useful too, couldn't they? Just to hedge your bets, sort of like Pascal's wager. Don't step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back. A magic incantation, like washing your hands for 20 seconds as you sang the happy birthday song. Voodoo public health? Other considerations had troubled him when the pandemic was just starting. Some friends left their mails outdoors for a day or more before bringing it in. Was he careless, not cautious enough for not doing so too, tempting the gods? Would he be sorry? Others took their shoes off before entering their homes, leaving the shoes that may have trod on deadly virus outside and donning indoor shoes. The jury was out on cardboard, whether the virus could survive on it long, like shipwrecked survivors on a wooden plank. How long? The stories of the suffering of the dying, their fragile lungs, the need for ventilators, were terrifying and heartbreaking. And every time he had a little cough, a sore throat, a sneezing fit, an electric jolt of panic shot through him. Did he have the virus? Was it the cashier at the supermarket? Her mask looked loose on her face, her eyes red. Was he going to die? It was like the AIDS fears from 30 years ago all over again, indeed. Could you get it from sitting in the same whirlpool at the gym with some infected person? Toilet seats and doorknobs? Only COVID was more pervasive, even if the hysteria was the same. Now there was the fear of long COVID. Forget about death. The worst thing about COVID, Max, other than dying, he wrote to Snyder, the loss of taste, the long-term effects, not knowing if that sense of taste will ever return. Just heard a woman on the radio, a young woman, a nurse, who used to crave Chinese food at least a couple of times a week. Now it's just glop in her mouth. Another woman had a similar story about her Italian father's wonderful sauces. Me, I'm partial to Indian food. I'd hate to not be able to detect cumin. Or coriander? Yes, I know, Snyder's terse response. Turned out his daughter'd gotten it in June, hadn't been able to taste food for months. And Max was still a skeptic? Later in the month, in the dwindling days of the year, jury trials were suspended for 6 weeks. The Circuit Court of Baltimore City posted the message in deadly legalese on its website. Pursuant to the Maryland Judiciary Court of Appeals Interim Administrative Order of December 27, 2021, restricting statewide judiciary operations in light of the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 emergency. All trial jurors scheduled for service on Monday, December 27, 2021, through Tuesday, February 8, 2022, are excused and should not report for jury service. The local newspaper called it Phase 3 of operations, the first time Lieb Air had heard of the official plan, or maybe just the first time he'd paid attention. Then, a few days later, on New Year's Eve, the letter came from the doctor's office. They had finally faxed the medical excuse to the circuit court. His copy of the medical request for excuse from jury duty. Explain how the condition would preclude this person from serving. Dr. Butler's handwritten response. Patient feels anxious being in a room with other people due to the COVID pandemic. What reasonable accommodation, e.g. frequent breaks, etc., might be the court consider that would help this person to serve on jury? None for now, till the pandemic is over. When will this person be able to serve as a juror? When pandemic is over. So where did this leave him? The ball was now in the circuit court's court, right? Lieber had already agreed to reschedule his jury duty for March 15th. Beware the Ides of March, indeed. But did this excuse trump the new date? How would they respond to this? Lieber felt like Joseph in Saul Bellow's Dangling Man waiting to be drafted. He shuddered, thinking of the courthouse. It was like a petri dish for viruses and bacteria. Windows didn't open in the courthouse. Air circulation was poor. Jurors had to take elevators to get to the courtroom since the stairwells had been shut down because of the airborne virus. Being crammed into an elevator with a bunch of people was an improvement? The jury assembly room was as crowded as a sold-out movie theater. The last time Lieber had had jury duty, he'd still belonged to the gym a few blocks away from the courthouse. Gyms had been closed for several months after the initial outbreak, and when they reopened, Lieber chose not to return, going for long walks with Ardella instead. He'd left his car parked in the gym's parking lot that day, his membership sticker giving him cover. He'd been called to one trial, herded with dozens of others to the courtroom, where they heard the details of the case, a drug bust, like something out of The Wire. Lieber had thrown up every objection to his service that he could when he was called to the bench. How his daughter had been assaulted by a drug addict on the street years ago. How he himself had been held up at an ATM. How all this could prejudice him against the defendant, a young black man. Though when the judge asked him directly, he'd admitted it probably would not. He went back to his seat in the courtroom, feeling like a prisoner on death row. Fortunately, his number had been so high in the range of numbers of prospective jurors, the 12 jurors and 12 alternates had been seated and certified before they'd reached his. Whew, get out of jail free. 30 years before, though, Lieber had served on a murder trial. He'd just been laid off from his job, and when he'd explained to the judge and attorneys that he couldn't serve because he might be getting a job interview, they'd all known that this was a man who had time on his hands, and he'd been selected for the 5-day trial. The trial had hinged on the testimony of the convicted murderer's ex-wife, who'd previously fingered him for the crime, but now had had a change of heart. She and her husband had been estranged at the time, but had since reconciled, and so she'd recanted her testimony. Under cross-examination from the prosecutor, who'd reminded her that she'd identified her husband to the grand jury, she'd thundered, "I don't care what I said to no grand jury!" The man she was now accusing of the crime, in place of her husband, was on trial. He'd been acquitted, no-brainer. Except for the occasional legal wrangling, though, these courtroom episodes had always been pretty interesting, Lieber conceded, the human melodrama, the stakes, the tension. But it was not worth getting sick for. He'd always loaded up on books for the long ordeal, and it occurred to him now that the last time he'd spent the day packed in with the others, as if the jury assembly room were a rush hour subway car, he'd read the Poe story, The Mask of the Red Death. Prince Prospero, likewise attempting to avoid a dangerous plague, dying after confronting the mysterious stranger disguised as a Red Death victim, his mask resembling the face of a corpse. Liber had been sitting next to a man who looked like he was in the grip of a hangover, dozing and drooling, another Red Death victim.